Once again, I want to welcome you to 2025. This is a great year and a great opportunity for us again. It is an opportunity because in every year, we have an opportunity to start again. Every new year opens a new window. It opens a new window to review things, where we have been, what we can do better. And it also gives us opportunity to exploit new things, to explore and to be able to aim for new things, to have new goals. And so I really do believe that this new year is something for all of us to prepare for, especially for God's children. I believe it's a great opportunity for us to be able to hear from God and be inspired by God to be able to set some goals and for us to understand how we are able to achieve those goals. So I have a prophetic message for us today. This is what I heard from God as a servant, and this is what I'm sharing with us today. And the word I heard from the Lord, which is the title of the message today, being the first Sunday of the new year, is arise and shine. Arise and shine. God says to us to arise and to shine. So in Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1 to 3, which is our foundational scripture, I will read to us. And then we will build on that and establish as the Holy Spirit leads us. But this is the message to the church: arise and shine. And when we talk of the church, I'm sure now we have an understanding that the church is talking about, when we say the church, we're talking about the people, the community of believers that meet together. So this word is for you today. In Isaiah chapter 60, I'll read verse 1 to 3. It says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and the glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Powerful. What a wonderful word of hope. This is a faithful word from the Lord. And of course, this text did directly speak to the people of Israel. But even then, we know that the scripture is alive. It's not a dead scripture. That the word of God is living. And the living word is a prophetic word today for the church. And so God is saying, arise, shine. Without rising, there will be no shining. God wants us to shine. He wants us to show his glory. He wants us to show all that he has put upon us. His glory is upon us. His light is in us. He wants us to show it to the world. He wants us to shine this light to the world that we are living in. So God is speaking to us concerning our purpose. He's speaking to us concerning our purpose. He wants us to shine. So you have a purpose on this earth, and your purpose is to shine to the glory of God. Some people might have a problem with that, but the word of God is clear that God wants his people to shine in the world that is full of darkness. Those who are in darkness do not have direction. Those who are in darkness do not know where they are going. But he says his light is upon us. So we, as believers in this world that is covered with darkness, should know where we are going. And people should see us as people who are intentional and people who are directed. And our direction, of course, like we know, it's in the way of righteousness, preparing ourselves for our heavenly home. So believers have a purpose. Believers should not be confused or be in this world without a direction, because the light of God is upon you, but you have to arise for you to get to a level where you shine so bright that people will be able to praise God because of your life. Hallelujah. There are four things. My message today will be short. And the reason is there are four things I would just like to share with you quickly, which is essential for you this year in order for you to be able to shine in this world, in this year 2025. One of the things that you must have this year, of the four things, is you must have courage. You must have courage. Those are the things that the Lord has showed me, which I'm sharing with you. You must have courage. What does courage mean? Courage is the quality of mind or spirit that enables a person to face difficulty, dangers, or pain without fear. Wow. That quality of mind and spirit that gives you ability to face difficulties and challenges, to face uncertainties, to face dangers and pain without fear. Number one, God wants you to have courage. That ability, that spirit of mind, that spirit of mind for you to say, yes, I will not be afraid, even when I have every reason to be. It is important for us to know that in as much as a new year opens a window of opportunities, there will also be challenges and difficulties along the way. And it's a truth that we all must reconcile with as we begin this journey in the new year. And for you people of God, as God is preparing us for this journey and is speaking to us prophetically about rising up to shine, then we must understand that courage is an essential part of it. We need that quality of mind and spirit to be able to continue in the face of difficulty, danger, or pain. I'll read to you an example in the life of Joshua. Joshua was Moses' assistant, as we all know in Scripture. So the Bible says here, in Joshua chapter 1, if you will allow me to read the first 7 verses. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all these people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea towards the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to these people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. So in this passage, we saw a young man, Joshua, discouraged, sitting down, not knowing what to do. Moses has been their leader for 40 years. Moses has now died. Joshua, the young man who has assisted Moses all the way, is now being called by God to take charge and continue the journey with the people to the land that God has promised them. Joshua was mourning. Joshua was grieving. But even more than that, I believe that Joshua was uncertain of what future would be like. He was uncertain of what next steps will be. But God said to him, Joshua, though you are disappointed about the death of Moses, you are disappointed that you no longer have a reliance on this relationship to guide you into the promise. But I can assure you, I will be with you as I was with Moses. And this journey, you will continue it to take over the land of promise. But God said to him, you must be strong. You must be courageous. Do not give in to your fears, whether the fears are within or without. Don't give in to your fears. So this year, people of God, if we're learning from this prophetic word message to us today, what God is saying to us is this year, you must remember this word, that even when you have a reason to be afraid this year, you must continue. You must not give in to fears within you or fears that arise because of circumstances outside of you. You must continue. You cannot give up. God said to him, get up, Joshua, and lead these people. Move on, Joshua. Move on, Joshua. And that's the word of God to us this year. God is saying to us this year, get up. You might have been disappointed about what you have experienced in relationships, but you have to get up. You have to move on, because God will be there with you as your helper. God will be there with you as your helper. Difficulties did arise when Moses was leading them, but yet it's too strong. It was courageous. And the same, God is saying to Joshua, difficulties will arise as you lead these people, but be strong, be courageous. No one will be able to defeat you. Joshua, just as David said in Psalm 23, verse 4, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff. Joshua took up the mantle, and you know that he did have to face the people of Jericho. He had to cross the Jordan, and he had to face the people of Jericho. But God was with him all this journey until he led these people into that promised land. So God will lead you to your promised land. God will enable you to achieve your objectives and goals this year. But when difficulties and challenges arise, remember the word that you have received from the Lord this year is to have courage. It's for you to get up and move on. Get up and move on. Don't let that situation cause you to become afraid, that you become immovable. God had to wake Joshua up. So God is saying to us today, for those who have received a word of promise from the Lord, those who are following a direction that God has given, that you must be courageous and not give in to fear. Though you might have faced some disappointments with people, you might have faced situations that cause you to feel discouraged, but yet God says, do not be discouraged. Have courage. That is what God is saying. That quality of mind and spirit that enables a person to be able to face difficulty, danger, or pain without fear. It's called bravery. So God wants you to be brave. This year, I don't know how big your dream might be or your goals might be, but whatever it is, if it is inspired by God, God is saying to you to be courageous. Do not give in to fear, because he wants you to move on towards that goal. He wants you to move on towards that promise. And you are going to get to your promised land in Jesus' mighty name. Another thing, number two, that God wants me to share with us today in the beginning of this year, preparing us for a great and a prosperous year, is to be persistent in prayer. To be persistent in prayer. Virtually everyone prays, but very few people are persistent. So, what do I mean? People pray, but a lot of people pray and give up. They give up because they don't seem to see answer to their prayer. And so, after some time, you find them being reluctant to pray about it again. In fact, sometimes the devil might even whisper to them, maybe it's not God's will. And so a lot of people have given up on a good thing. Some people have given up on a God thing. And so this year, as long as you know that what you are asking is in line with the will of God, God is saying to you, be persistent. God has set a time for everything that he does. And God, sometimes we test our faith in his process, whether we really do believe he will bring it to pass. So the ability to continue praying and not give up, even when the answer seems long in coming, is what persistence will mean in prayer. So God is saying to you, beloved, be persistent in prayer. Be persistent in prayer, because God will hear you. And the example I'll bring from the scripture is from the life of a blind man who sat at the gates of Jericho, outside of the city, and he asked for alms. That's what he does. His name in the Bible is Bartimaeus. He asks for alms at this gate by Jericho, by the city of Jericho. And you can see the story in Mark chapter 10, Mark chapter 10, verse 46 to 52. So Jesus was going to Nazareth, passing through Jericho. So when he was by the gate of Jericho, this man heard that Jesus Christ was the one passing by, because there was a whole lot of crowd following Jesus. Mark, again, I want to repeat the passage. Mark chapter 10, verse 46 to 52. And so this man cried out to Jesus, have mercy upon me, son of David. And the Bible says that those people who were around Jesus Christ, they tried to stop him. They tried to stop him from crying out to Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that the more that they tried to quiet him, the more that he cried out to Jesus. And our cry today is what is synonymous with what we call prayer. We are crying out to God. Someone is praying. He says, what are you doing? I'm crying out to God. I'm taking my petition to God, taking all my supplication before God. Bartimaeus was crying out to Jesus Christ because he knew that the solution was in Jesus. People tried to quieten him. They tried to suppress him. The crowd that was following Jesus, he didn't give in to them. He kept crying to Jesus. Jesus heard. Jesus heard. God will hear you this year in the name of Jesus. And he turned and he asked them to call him the blind man. And the blind man came to Jesus Christ. In fact, though I'm not preaching on this text per se, I'm only taking an example of persistence in prayer, in calling upon Jesus. This man threw off his garment, old garment. He threw it off before he even got to Jesus. This man already saw light, that Jesus Christ, as his cry has got the attention of Jesus. He knew his life was never going to be the same again. He knew that. As Jesus said, they should call him. They said to him, well, be of good cheer. He's calling you. He's calling you. Eventually, you, this noisemaker, you got his attention. Somebody this year is going to get God's attention by your prayer, persistent prayer. And so when he came to Jesus, Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? Wow. Jesus is asking the Lord of all, who is omniscient, what do you want me to do for you? And the man said, I want to see. That's what I want to do, that I may receive my sight. I want to see. So Jesus Christ healed him. Says, your faith has made you whole. The man was healed, and the man continued to follow Jesus Christ. So what do I say to you, God's people, this year? Be persistent in prayer, but also be specific in your request. Make sure that your request is specific. Don't just pray generally. Pray on what you want. If you want a child, God, give me a child this year, as long as you are married. If you want a husband or a wife, Lord, give me a husband this year, or give me a wife this year. Be specific. And if you want God to prosper your business, you bring the business before God always. Lord, put your hand on my business and bless this business. You have to be specific in what you want. Every year I come before the Lord, I bring specific prayers because I've learned this secret some years back. Actually, many years back. So every year, I put a list of my requests before God and I pray on those requests all the time throughout the year. Of course, when they are, once they get done by the Lord, it becomes my thanksgiving. I pray that this year, you will be specific in your prayer, you'll be persistent in your prayer, and then you will not allow anyone to discourage you. Some people discourage you and tell you all kinds of things. Their mouth is so sweet, and they discourage you from believing in God to answer your prayer. You don't need such companions this year if you want to be an achiever. You don't need such company this year. It's not every friend you need. Some friends, they take you out of the will of God. Some companions, they discourage you from achieving your potential. You don't need them this year. What the people you need are people who believe in God, who believe that with God all things are possible. People will also join force with you in that prayer, not those who will begin to create doubt in your mind, like God does not answer your prayer or you are not praying according to the will of God. You know what is in your heart. For you to desire to get married is a good thing. For you to desire to have a child in marriage is a good thing. For you to desire to prosper in your business is a good thing. No one can say that is not God's will. It's like a pastor praying for the church to grow. And so people say, oh, we like it small. We know each other. We are happy. It is God's will that the church grow. So once you know God's will, pray and do not let anyone discourage you. Be persistent. Be specific. And don't allow, just like Bartimaeus the blind, until he got his sight. People sometimes like you where you are because you look up to them where you are. As long as you are sitting down there begging, they are happy. You are a good boy. Good girl. They like you there. Always looking up to them. But once they see that you want to rise, they want to quieten you. They would do everything to discourage you. Such people, discern them. Discern such people. You don't need them. Not this year again. Not from this year. You don't need such people this year. From this year on, those are relationships you need to get rid of. They like you down there. And they will give you a reason why you should be down there. Why are they trying to stop a blind man who wants to call the Savior to open his eyes so that he also can be able to fend for himself and make a living? Why does it have to depend on the dropping that people will be dropping in his hand every day? The insult and all that he'll be receiving there. He doesn't want that life again. Immediately they said, the master got, you got the attention of the master now. He said, okay. He threw off his old garments. I don't want to live like this. And I pray that some will have that radical faith in God. God will get you, your prayer this year will get the attention of the Almighty in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. It just reminds me of Anna. Anna was the second wife of Elkanah who had no child. And the husband was saying to you, Anna, relax yourself. I love you. And we give her a double portion of food when they go for their festival. But that was not what Anna wanted. It's not double portion of food. Anna wanted to have her own child. And not just a child. Anna wanted to have a child that served the Lord. Wow, what a powerful woman. She wanted a child, a male child, that would serve the Lord. She was specific. If I just meditating on that, I remember thinking, actually, she actually mentioned to the Lord, I want a male child that will become a priest, because under that covenant, the old covenant, women will not become priests. So it's a man. See, I want a man, a male child, and I will give him into your service. Wow. She was so specific, and God granted this woman's desire because it is a good desire. It's the right desire. It's a God-inspired desire. Because at that time, the priesthood of Eli had already failed God. God was already looking for a replacement. So for this woman to cry out to God and say, Father, I need you to hear me and give me a male child that will serve you. God said, that's what I want. I'm going to give this woman. So be persistent in prayer. Be specific like Anna and like Bartimaeus, who was specific. Yes, my sight. That's all I want. If he had asked for money, maybe the Lord would have given, done a miracle or whatever it is. Or I want new clothes. Maybe God, you know, the Lord, Jesus will have said to him, okay, we'll give you maybe a basket full of new clothes. But he said, I want my sight. Because that sight is what gives me new life. It gives me new, you know, brand new start. And that's what the new year is all about. And I pray that someone catch a revelation in Jesus' name. Number three, I want to share with you, like I said, I don't think I'm going to take so long in this message. Number three, I want to share with you is, don't waste your time lamenting on your inabilities or insufficiencies this year. Only wish, only if I had, only if I could do this or that. Don't waste time lamenting on your inabilities or insufficiencies. Nobody has everything. Nobody has everything. But everybody has something. That's the good news for you this year. So I want you to begin not to look at what you don't have, but what you have. Not what you don't have, but what you have. Moses could not speak. But God said to him, what do you have? He said, I have a rod. I use this rod as a shepherd. That's what I will use. The Lord said to the disciples, these people, in Matthew chapter 14, these people have been with us for so long, and we're in a place that is desert and distant from shops and where we could get supplies of food. What can we do? They said, well, we got 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. So the little you have, just as he did and multiplied that and fed 5,000 people, he's able to do the same today. He's still the same God. Hebrews 13 verse 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still the same God. So don't be lamenting. Only if I was married, I know what I could do. Only if I had children, I know what I could do. Only if I had money, I know what I could do. Well, you have something. I pray that God will open your eyes to see what you have this year so you can use what you have. God can use what you have to do great things, greater than we can ever think or imagine. God can use what you have, the little you have, the thing you call nothing or other people call nothing. But I hope you from this year will not call what you have nothing, because believe me, I believe that is actually a dishonor to God. Because God knows what he's doing when he gave gifts. He gave some 5, he gave another 1, 2, he gave another 1, 1. The master in that story who represented the Lord knew exactly what he was doing. We have differing gifts. But every gift is useful for something. And that something is in line with your purpose. Not every tree the same. Why do we have orange tree, mango tree? Why do we have guava tree? Why do we have different trees? And we have also the boba tree, the oak tree. Why do we have different kinds of trees? Some are slender, some are very round, some are very tall, some are very short. Everything has a purpose in the agenda of God. Your gifts has a purpose in line with your destiny. So don't say and look back and say, I do nothing because I have nothing. Just like the one giving 1 talent in that story, Matthew chapter 25. Remember, in that story, that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25, the story of the talent, the one with the one did nothing with it and hid it in the ground. So don't waste your time lamenting on your inabilities or insufficiencies. In Philippians 4 verse 19, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. God will supply your need. So God knows what you need. Many times we ask for what we want, but God knows what we need. And what you need is what is in the line of your purpose and destiny. That is what is in line with your purpose and destiny. And remember also, as it is spoken in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. And the scripture says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves or more than ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, is of God. Our sufficiency is from God or of God, whichever one you choose. Our sufficiency is of God. He's sufficient for us. He is sufficient for us. Even the same Bible tells us that there is one that is rich but very poor. He has a lot of money but very poor. But there is one that has little but very rich. Look how God looks at things. Don't let the world and their noise distort the way God has given us his truth and wisdom. Don't let the noise of the world, don't let it confuse you concerning how God has spoken concerning life. The world has their own, which is ever changing in each generation, but the word of God remains the same. And he is the author of life. It's not the world that is the author of life. Everybody will come and go. But he is the author of life. He created life, and he created it with principles of how to live it. And he showed those principles and commands in his word. So the Bible does show us these principles, this truth that we should, how we should live. So don't waste your time and thinking, I'm not able to do this because I don't have this. What you have, you never know how big God can make it. He's a miracle working God. Just like I said about the 5 loaves and 2 fishes in Matthew 14, and you saw what he did with it. I mean, there were leftovers. So the same thing God is able to do, that you have such leftover that you're able to minister to the need of other people. Not just your need, not just your vision, but you're able to help other people's vision. You're able to help other people who are in serious need because you have leftovers. A lot of leftovers. You have more than enough. So I want you to remember this, that the fact that you don't have someone to help you, or you don't have certain abilities that you see in others, does not mean you have nothing. As long as you have Jesus Christ, he is your sufficiency, because our sufficiency is of God. There was a man in John chapter 5. He was an impotent man, and there is this thing that happened at the pool in Bethesda. That pool was a healing pool. Once a year, they believed that an angel stirs up the pool, and the first person to get in after the stirring of the pool gets healed. And there was an impotent man who's been there for 38 years. He's been there for so long. You will see that story in John chapter 5, the first 15 verses. And this man was there when Jesus Christ came, and Jesus noticed he came to the pool because of this man, I'm sure. And the Bible says he noticed that the man has been there for a long time. And he said to the man, will you be healed? Will you be made? Will you be healed? You know, the man did not say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. The man was talking about why he has been there for 38 years, lamenting on the help that he needed that he couldn't find for 38 years. That's what he was lamenting on. I thought you would jump at that new opportunity which this new year offers. That's what you should be jumping up. The man was complaining. He said, the problem is I don't have anyone to put me in the pool because it's lame, you see. This man is infirmed. So with the nature of his infirmity, I don't know, it must be some disability or so, which he could not by himself get into the pool. So he's there watching other people come in and go. People even probably came after him. They've gone into the pool and gone. But he cannot. Who brought him there? I wondered one day in my prayer. I wondered those who brought him there, left him there. Look how people can be. I have always told you, until you connect yourself with Jesus and put your absolute faith in Jesus, you will remain in a spot for a long time because people like you to be there. Can you imagine people who left him there? Whether it's family or friend, but some people definitely took him there and they left him there. And so this man is there. Just walk. Can you imagine how painful it is? You're in a place where everybody's getting their blessing and yet you're seeing it, and you're seeing their triumphant, you know, jumping up and praising God, and you are not part of it. That is really sad. But that's his condition until Jesus came in. So this man was lamenting, but Jesus Christ in his mercy made him whole. And it's just an example of how people can remain on the spot. Because if someone else had come, maybe he's even driven people away by his complaining. Maybe he's driven so many people that could have helped him away by the bitterness of his situation. It's possible. I don't know. He's just been there. But when Christ came and Christ was offering to help, he was not even listening. I don't even think he heard it. He just kept talking about how long he's been there and that he has no one to help him. In this world, we must know that God has a plan for everyone. And God has not forsaken anyone unless the person who denies him. Even the one who denies him, his arms, look at the cross, his arms are still open for them to have a change of mind and come to him. And that's the God that we're serving. He doesn't forsake. No, he's always there with that hope and expectation that you will come and embrace all that he has for you. So the one with the little, the one that thinks is insufficient, God has a plan for you. God wants to multiply you. God wants to use your little. God wants to align you with destiny. And it's even more glorious for you to be able to talk about your little beginning. It is even more glorious to testify about what you didn't have, but how God came in through for you with the little that you offered him. It is even more glorious. It even triggers and arouses in people more spirit of faith when you testify about that. And that's how God wants you to shine in the world, so that people can see and say, but she didn't have a lot, but look at how she has transformed so many people's lives. Wow, this God, I will serve him then. And that's what God is setting us up for in this world. But sometimes we're beclouded by the judgments of people, by the way people measure us. But you see, measure yourself as God has measured you in God's word. You are complete in him. You are complete in Christ. Nothing missing, nothing lacking. What you see as your inability or insufficiency is because you are looking at it the way people perceive you. You're looking at it the way people measure you. But when you begin to understand that even God has a program for that little, he has a program for that little ability, he has a program for that little resource you have, then you begin to give yourself to it. And then you see what God will do. This year, don't waste time, because it's a waste of time. That man wasted a whole lot of time by the pool of Bethesda. And the final one I want to share with us today, before we close, is to work hard towards your goal. Work hard to be able to shine to the glory of God. It's not something you sit back on and say, yes, God is going to make, I've got a prophetic word for this year, I'm going to shine. You still have to arise. Part of arising is working hard. You have to try hard. You have to strive for the goal. There are elements, there are things, there's crowd, there is people, there is noise. You have to try. You have to try really hard. If you do not give yourself into what you set out to achieve this year, it will be almost impossible. Because there are pressures that would like to deny you getting your goal. There are circumstances and people that would like to crowd you up and distract you from getting your goal. But remember, we're talking about God-inspired goal. We're talking about the goal that Jesus himself is happy that you are setting yourself to achieve. We're talking about ambitions that please God. Desires that please God. We're talking about visions that are inspired by God. You must work hard. There is a path for you to play. But you must fix your eyes on Christ. You must fix your eyes on him as you are working really hard. That you are not depending on just your own strength. That you are not just depending on your own knowledge. You must fix your eyes on him while you're trying and working really hard towards your goal. In Mark chapter 5, there is a story about a woman who has been sick. And that sick is that she's been running blood, shedding blood for 12 years. And you see that story, Mark chapter 5, verse 25 to 34. So this woman, she has spent all her money. Doctors were not able to help. There was nothing. In fact, the Bible says the situation was getting worse. So there was no human help or any medical help that, you know, helped her in any way in that condition. So when she heard, see, this woman heard about Jesus Christ. She heard about Jesus Christ. So she was, because in that culture, when you have such a situation, you are supposed to be excommunicated. You are not where people are. I mean, this has been going on for 12 years, so it's really a very serious situation. And so such persons are not usually, probably they even have an odor because of this condition. So they are not really with people because she will make them unclean because they call them unclean in that situation. So she should not really be out in public space. But when this woman, when she heard of Jesus, she broke that protocol. Believe me, she broke that protocol because she knew that all her help was in this man, Jesus Christ. She has heard about him. That he does miracles, he heals the sick, he loves the people, he accustoms himself and changes people's lives. She said, that's the one I need to change my life, to bring an end to my suffering. To bring an end, this is our goal. Our goal was to get her healing. The woman that had the issue of the blood. And so when she heard about Jesus, the Bible says she came from behind the crowd. You know, Jesus Christ, there will be a crowd around him all the time. But how would this woman, who is sick, probably not very strong, how would she get to this Jesus with this crowd? Wow, it takes determination to do that. It takes determination to do that. So number four, work hard with determination to achieve your goal. Number four, work hard with determination to achieve your goal this year. The crowd were there. But this woman, the Bible says, came from behind. I like that word. She came from behind the crowd because she probably was hiding somewhere, just waiting. She said that Jesus Christ, yes, Jesus is in town. Okay, this is my opportunity. I'm going to go out today. I'm going to stay by the road. And when I know he passes by, I'm going to go and touch him because I know I will be healed. She already said it in her heart. She had the faith in him. So she came out of her hiding place. The crowd was still there. And she wavered. Moved in through the crowd. And she reached out and touched the hem of his garment. She pressed in through the crowd. And then she was healed. So no matter what discussion was going on around the crowd, no matter what the people were doing around the crowd, this woman did not see them. All that this woman saw was Jesus Christ was her goal. And I want to also mention, as I'm rounding up this message, look, even in the church today, we have a crowd. It's not a crowd of believers. It's a crowd of people who attend church, attenders of church. Even today, we have a crowd in the church. Just as Israel in the church in the wilderness had a mixed multitude, today we have a crowd. Their own purpose in church is different from what your purpose is. You better focus on your purpose. You better focus on your purpose. This year, make sure that the crowd does not distract you. They have their own agenda. They have their own, you know, desires. But if your desire is to reach the Lord, who is able to change your life, then you have to be determined. You have to fix your eyes on him. Without looking to the left, without looking to the right. And remember, when you touch him, it's a life-changing experience. This year, make it your goal to touch the heart of Jesus Christ. Make it your goal that, Lord, I want to be as close to you as that woman was in the midst of the crowd. This sick woman, she centered, she zeroed like eagle with zero on their prey. She zeroed on Christ that is not going to go without me touching him today, because in him is my wholeness. Brothers and sisters, in him is your wholeness. It doesn't matter what has been out of joint. The Bible talks about crooked places being made straight. The Bible talks about the valleys being filled and the mountains being brought low. Jesus Christ is the one that can do it. He's the one that can replace ashes with beauty. But you must be determined that you are not going to let the crowd distract you. You must be determined, just as this woman with the issue of the blood. She knew her whole turnaround lies in him, in her touching this man. If only I can reach out to this man and touch him, my life will never be the same again. She knew that. And so what did she begin to do? She began to move towards him. I can imagine how she's displacing people on the side, weaving through people on the side and going, you know, going. And they wonder, what's this woman doing here? What's this woman doing? Maybe sometimes I say, something is smelling, something is. I say, no, before you get to know that it's me, I'm going to touch him. This year, I pray that you will so much get close to Jesus Christ that your experience will be noticeable by everyone that knows you. The change that will bring to your lives in Jesus' mighty name. So, number four, work hard. And number five, you can say, be determined and zero in on Jesus Christ, blocking out the crowd and see what the Lord will do. May God Almighty bless you and make your year a great and a prosperous one in Jesus' mighty name.